An 18-year-old about to start a new life in NYC is thrown 6 feet into the air one night as he's hit by an SUV from behind. His killer almost gets away with absolutely no jail time. But there's a little more nuance to this case than one might think. This is the true crime story of the Hamptons hit and run of Devesh Samtani. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you so much for joining me today, and please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I also have a brand new Facebook page that I've linked in the description, and that's a great place to leave me ideas for cases, like my longtime watcher Vanna Lycana did on a past video. She said, "No one has done this case yet. Go get it, girl." So thank you, Vanna. Devesh Devu Samtani had just arrived in New York from Hong Kong. He was an 18-year-old about to enter his freshman year studying economics at New York University here in New York City. And one of the best things to do in NYC in the summer is leave it. Sorry, I love it here, but summers are disgusting between the smell of hot garbage on trash day and the 1,000% humidity every day. So Devu and his cousin escaped to Amagansett on Long Island. If you haven't heard of Amagansett, it's because the celebrities who live there don't want you to. It's just east of the Hamptons and is an exclusive area where people like Jerry Seinfeld, Alec Baldwin, and Sarah Jessica Parker have all had second homes. Now, I've been to the Hamptons, and I don't really get the draw of the dark, cold water there when you could just go to a beach in Florida or the Caribbean for much less than half the price of a rental. But I'm a mere peasant and not the aristocracy for which outer Long Island exists. Devu and his cousin were enjoying a night out in Amagansett on August 10th, 2021, walking down a dark road at 11:35 p.m. As famous as the Hamptons are, they're actually a very small town, so it's not surprising that the road wasn't well lit. The two had finished dinner with family, who had all rented a house there for a big reunion, and were walking to a house party. Suddenly, Devu was hit from behind by an SUV, and his cousin heard the crunch of bones as Devu was thrown into the air, flew feet from the curb, and was tossed to the ground where he hit his head. He was hit so hard that his sneakers came off. His cousin said he screamed for someone to call 911 as he saw his bleeding cousin lying unconscious on the road. The one person who couldn't help them was the driver of the SUV who hit Devu, because that guy was long gone. It was a hit and run. But there were witnesses at the scene who were able to catch the driver's license plate number. Some sources say it was one of the passengers in the very SUV that hit Devu who snapped the photo that led the East Hampton Town Police in the right direction. The driver was Daniel Campbell, a 19-year-old living in his family's second home in Montauk, on the very eastern edge of Long Island. He worked at his mom's beachy clothing store, the kind of place that tells you, "Our line tells the stories of the artisans who have made them from generations using natural materials." Okay. The place made about $1 million a year. Police arrested Daniel at home in Montauk, and in the accident report, Daniel initially said that he had four or five of his 17-year-old sister's friends in his 2012 Honda Pilot that night. He says that the SUV seats eight, and everyone fit inside. It later turned out that there were nine people, plus him, in a car that seats eight, and not nine nuns quietly reading their Bibles, but nine young girls. Daniel said they were trying to figure out where to go, but no one was making a decision, so he just started driving. In the report, he claims that he thought someone bumped his car and mirror, but he got out down the road and looked and saw that his headlight was cracked and there was some front passenger side damage. Meanwhile, his sister was being extremely upset and quiet, and some of the girls demanded that they go back to the scene of the accident. While Daniel was checking out damage to the SUV, he started getting Snapchat alerts on his phone about someone being in critical condition after being hit. He said that's when he knew what had really happened, and he started to have a panic attack. He'd been in car accidents, but never one where someone got hurt. He admitted, "I knew I should have stayed and gotten a police officer and got help, but in my panic, I focused on getting my sister and her friends home. If I could do it all over again, I would have." But after this initial panic, he found a way to calm down, switch cars at his family's home, and grab another car and go meet up with a friend. He also found a way to use his phone to research public transportation that might get him out of New York. And he found a way to call around trying to find out the medical condition of his victim without having to talk to the police. Devu's parents flew in from Hong Kong to be at his side at Stony Brook University Hospital, where he fought for his final breaths. By the time they arrived, their son had been declared dead. They describe him as a bright star who wanted to provide for the less fortunate and better people's lives. He wrote a children's book to help children cope with the effects of COVID with the hope of donating all the proceeds to charity. You can find the link to buy it in the description of this video. The family set up a nonprofit in Hong Kong and a scholarship at NYU in Devu's name. He won't be forgotten. Daniel Campbell was charged with leaving the scene of an accident with serious physical injury, which is a felony. I'm a little surprised they didn't call it involuntary manslaughter, because I don't know if the words serious physical injury say you killed someone, but I'm no legal scholar. No bail was set, but Daniel did have to hand over his passport and driver's license, which is apparently unusual in the case of someone facing one charge of leaving the scene, but the judge said that Daniel showed gross negligence, a reckless disregard for life, and willful evasion of prosecution. The original plan by prosecutors was to ask for 1 to 3 years in prison for Daniel. Devu's family said that they hoped for at least 6 months so Daniel would have time to think about what his actions cost them. Of course, the court didn't talk to Devu's family. His dad showed up wearing all black with a new tattoo of Devu's face on his forearm, but he didn't get to speak in court. In August 2022, Daniel pleaded guilty to this felony and was facing sentencing in September. The judge promised that he'd receive no jail time. But then, in the days leading up to the sentencing, the judge saw Daniel's driving record, which, in the words of the criminal defense attorney hired by Devu's family, shows him to be a driving menace who has now killed someone. He'd been caught speeding multiple times, driving the wrong way down a one-way street, driving an unregistered vehicle without a state inspection sticker, and causing a head-on collision. He got 6 points on his license one time for speeding in New York City, and once had his license suspended for 3 months. So on October 25th, the judge changed his mind, but gave Daniel a choice. 90 days in jail or go to trial. Daniel chose the jail time. At his sentencing on November 3rd, he also received 450 hours of community service, 5 years probation, and a $2,000 fine, in addition to losing his license. Because of the Long Island County's good behavior policy, he'll likely serve no more than 60 days in jail. Devu's family is understandably upset at the outcome. In court, his mother sat holding a photo of her son and his favorite t-shirt, which she says still smells like him. His cousin still has flashbacks of the events of that night. Devu's father says, "We are not vengeful people, but how is this possible? You hit and kill someone and run away, and you just walk away scot-free? It's not fair." Daniel's family seems to think that he's appropriately remorseful. They're like, "He admitted he's guilty. What more do you want from him?" Some people say that this is a clear case of racism, or a clear indication that the judge was paid off by this family with a second home in the Hamptons. But Devu's family is no joke either. His dad is actually the co-founder of TV Products, that line of goods with the "as seen on TV" tagline. He operates his international businesses from Hong Kong and London, so I'm not sure that that's the right framing for what happened. When I first started looking into this case, I thought it was a clear instance of justice simply not being served. But the more I researched it, the more I realized that there are actually a lot of nuances. This was a two-way road that was dark and winding, with no streetlights and no sidewalks. A teenage girl's house party had been blasted across social media, so 800 to 1,000 people converged on that one small area that night. Daniel called it chaotic and said he had never seen so many people at a party before. It looked more like a concert than a party, he said, and the 19-year-old who hosted it would later be cited for holding a gathering without a permit and creating noise pollution. The police came to break it up, and the resulting scene was like a mass exodus that actually made the roadway less safe. Devu and his cousin started walking single file along the road with their backs to traffic, which is, of course, the less safe way to walk. They were waiting to find a place where they could get cell reception and call an Uber to take them back to the house that their family had rented. At the place where the accident happened, there's really no shoulder to walk on, and the road slopes sharply upward, so you can't really walk in the grass at the side of the road either. Devu's cousin said that they'd been walking along the curb as well as they could. He called it carefully. When Daniel's SUV came up behind them and first grazed a girl walking in their group before hitting Devu. In his statement to police, Daniel said someone stepped into the road suddenly, and the only thing he could do to react was to slightly turn his wheel. There was oncoming traffic and congestion from all of the people in the road. Daniel said he did the best he could with the limited time he had to react. On its face, this all sounds reasonable to me, especially for an inexperienced driver, practically a kid. One thing I took note of, though, is that Daniel told police that he was traveling 20 to 25 miles per hour. Now, 25 miles per hour is definitely fast enough to kill someone. Basically, any miles per hour is fast enough for an SUV filled with 10 people to kill someone. But is it fast enough to throw someone 6 feet into the air to be slammed back to the ground? I'm not sure. The other thing is that Devu's cousin said Daniel's vehicle whooshed by him on his way to hit Devu. Is 25 miles per hour enough to whoosh? Now, the cousin is young and definitely could have not been choosing his words precisely there. But there's also a chance Daniel was going much faster than he said, especially if he had a car full of teenage girls doing what teenage girls do. Daniel is also someone who's been ticketed for speeding before. On the other hand, if this was a dark and supposedly very crowded road, surely Daniel would have been forced to go slow? And finally, I need to mention that someone else has been hit on this road before. It was another teenage boy killed 9 years earlier and in broad daylight. If someone can be mown down during the day with no one else on the road, it's not surprising that it happened on a dark night with too many people crowding the non-existent shoulders of the street. I also noted that the prosecution in this case was only seeking 1 to 3 years in jail for Daniel before the judge decided to give him an even lighter sentence. It feels to me like maybe they have been torn about how at fault he was. But I ultimately think the attorney for Devu's family said it best. When it comes to the criminal act of what the defendant is being charged with, it has nothing to do with the streets, the roads, the layouts, the lack of shoulder, the lack of lighting, or no sidewalk. It has everything to do with, once the defendant hit Devesh, what were his actions? He decided multiple times, instead of staying to assist in exchanging information and getting police to help Devesh, he left. We'll see if there's a civil lawsuit in the works. So what do you think? Was Daniel given the right sentence for the conditions that night, or was justice subverted here? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.